Okay, now what about the smoke bombs and the gasoline? Oh, I'll take care of them, says Lance. You do this a lot? You'd be surprised what I do, dude, says Lance. Don't fill me in, please. Lance and Todd get up and wander off to their duties. Jay continues to fiddle with her laptop. David sacks out while Mike helps Mary clean up in the kitchen. Time, 8 p.m. It's 8 o'clock and Mike is lounging on David's couch, one foot up on the table watching the main entrance in one window while playing a video game in the other. David's over by the window watching the traffic below. Jay is banging away on her laptop as usual, with two cigarettes absentmindedly lit in the same ashtray to her left and a cold cup of coffee to her right. Mike spots Sid walk in through the main entrance and start going through security. Hey, it's one of them, calls Mike. As Sid hands over his ID, another one of the bouncers distracts his attention while the first bouncer quickly swipes the ID through a mag strip reader on his podium. A moment later, he hands it back to Sid, who is unaware that it's been scanned. Mike chuckles. I wonder if the ID is real. A second later, the record from Sid's driver's license, complete with JPEG photo, pops up. Yeah, it's real. Sid Flugel, originally from Council Bluffs, age 25, 6'2", 160 pounds, blue eyes, blonde hair, present address, expiration date, says David. Nice bod, says Jay, looking up momentarily. Mike shoots a glare in her direction. She giggles and says, well, you could work out once in a while, too, and goes back to typing. Mike says, idiot, he used his real ID, says Mike as he pages Todd's cell phone at the bar. Todd answers, yep, I saw him, Sid Flugel. I'm already tracking him across the floor with a tight shot in one of my security cams. Can you see him? Mike actually is beginning to get the hang of the system. Earlier, Todd showed him the tracking system they use for performers to keep spotlights on them. They aim a computer-guided low-power infrared laser on the person's head. Normally, such a system is used for military missile targeting, but in the club, it's used to maintain the focus of pin spots on otherwise rapidly moving entertainment. It can also be used to aim the laser show. It is very accurate and can even follow very fast dance moves. In this case, however, Todd's got the tracking system fed into the central security camera system, so everywhere Sid goes, his own private close-up follows. Mike says to himself that he does enjoy these toys. Yep, we got him. Thanks, says Mike as he flips the phone shut. Jay stops typing, leans back, lights a third cigarette, the other two having smoldered out, and watches also. So, when's his pal gonna show up, she asks. Who knows? Anytime, I guess, says David. Anyone want anything from the kitchen? How about dumping this coffee? I'm going down there and take a closer look for myself, says Jay, as she hands him her cup, shuts down her laptop, and heads for the door. After Sid hangs his coat in the cloakroom beside the main entrance, he walks a little way into the club. He stops and looks around and up at the atrium vault above. Jeez, he says quietly to himself. What a freaking palace. Tom and Bob were right. Around him are over 100 people, mainly under 30, milling about, laughing, drinking, and generally having a good time. In the central dance floor, a few dozen couples are dancing to some recorded music, which reverberates throughout the open space above. He wanders over to the middle of the bar, orders a beer, and holding it in one hand, turns to face the dance floor. His elbows lean against the bar behind him. He surveys the growing crowd as a steady stream of people now pours through the main door. Gazing intently upwards, his eyes, starting to adjust to the darkness, begin to see the outlines of the balconies on the upper floors. One of the bartenders puts the basket of pretzels with the wireless mic next to Sid. At about 8:30 p.m., Mike spots the other one. Mark, enter the club. The doorman and bouncer pull the same routine, and Mark's ID is on the screen in a few seconds. Mark Spencer from Marshalltown, Iowa. 5'11", 155 pounds, 26, blonde, green eyes. Yep, real also. Todd puts an infrared beam on him, too, and starts feeding the sequencing output to another cam pod, which quickly focuses and tracks Mark. The system is recording both cameras. Mark also heads for the bar and buys a beer. Walking casually over to Sid, he nods and says, jeez, what a place. Sure is. Never seen anything like this before. Who'd have thought in Omaha? See anything interesting? Yeah, look up above. Takes a second for your eyes to adjust, but you can just make out the outlines of the balconies all the way up there. Yeah, looks like there must be four or five of them, says Mark. I think I'm going to start taking a few pictures with my cell phone. No one's going to believe this place, says Sid as he pulls out his phone and goes through the motions of making a call, but in reality is snapping pictures of the club. They coming out okay, says Mark? You bet. They look fine on the screen. I'm going to head over towards the stage area and check out the emergency exits. Catch you back here in a while. Okay, I'll circle around the other way. When Mark gets to the stage area, he spots the emergency door to its right. With his back to the central dance floor, he takes out his cell phone and snaps a few pictures of the stage. He pans to the right and snaps again, and then takes one of the center of the building from the angle of the stage. He then closes his phone and slips it into his shirt pocket. Todd, Lance, David, and Mike watch as Mark and Sid case the place. Lance is near the main entrance. Jay's now working the bar, and Todd is perched at his console. Sid walks south towards Todd's control booth, passing directly in front of one of Todd's monitors, which, unknown to Sid, is showing video close-ups of him and Mark. But this affords Todd a good live look at Sid, who unexpectedly turns and notices Todd peering at him. Somewhat startled, Sid says, hey, how you doing? Todd smiles and says, real good. Sid. You need another one of those? Referring to Sid's beer. Yeah, thanks, says Sid as he puts the empty on the bar. Todd slips off his stool. He reaches down into the refrigerated case and takes out a fresh cold bottle, pops the top off with the bottle opener mounted on the bar, and hands it to Sid, getting a good long look at him and the bargain. On the house, says Todd. Gee, thanks, says Sid as he tilts the bottle Todd's way in a salute. Mark circles around the bar to the area near the main door and takes some shots, looking east across the dance floor towards the bar. He continues on his counterclockwise tour. Along the way, he stops and socializes and tries to pump the people he meets for information about David. Finally, having come full circle, Mark meets up with Sid back at the bar. They sit at adjacent stools, back to the bar, facing the dance floor, observing. After a while, Jay comes over and, playing the part of bartender, asks if there's anything she can get them. Mark turns and says, "Couple more beers." "You bet," says Jay, who returns a moment later with the beer. Jay asks as she reaches under the counter, "Peanuts?" She places a basket of brine-salted peanuts on the shell on the bar. Another small microphone is hidden in the basket. Jay, wiping her hands on a towel, joins Todd at his console at the end of the bar, just as Todd activates the mic. Everyone listens in, including Lamps across the floor, who's wearing a headset. Sid says, "Well, see anything interesting?" "Well, I counted the emergency exits on each side and paced off the distances between them. I guess that must be the door to the freight elevator over on the far side. I wish there were some way to get up there. Found out that four people live up in the apartments," says Mark. "The bartender at the computer console, he lives up there. He told me when I was asking him about the balcony," says Sid. Todd looks away from the console and down at Sid, who's facing away from him. Two of the others are Shay and the guy who runs security here. That's him, the security guard over there, the big blonde guy near the door. His name's Lance, says Mark. Mark looks briefly over at Lance, who's near the main entrance. Lance looks like he's watching the dance floor, but actually he's keeping an eye on Mark and Sid as well as listening to them. "Holy crap, what is he, their fullback?" says Sid. "Yeah, big, ain't he? I heard he's gay," says Mark. "Not your typical fairy," says Sid, giving Lance a closer look. No, I don't think so, says Mark. "Hey, you're his type. Go over there and talk to him and see what you can find out. You want this bottle up your ass? Now, now, be nice. I was just thinking that maybe Lance over there might want to meet some nice young guy like yourself," says Sid, smirking as he takes a drink from the bottle, pitching it at a high angle. "You're fucking kidding, right?" "No, not really. Why the hell not? We might learn something. You're pretty cute when you want to be. Give it a shot. Who knows? Man, they don't pay me enough. Worth a try. I can't believe I'm listening to this. Anyway, I already talked to him. When I was looking at the elevator room door, he came up and I asked him what it was, and so on. He didn't tell me much. He was okay, though." "Just okay? So how do you know he's gay?" "He hit on me, that's how. Like I said, you're just his type. Give it a break, will you? Anyway, I found out a lot of other stuff while I was walking around. Over there where the elevator shaft is. Well, I was standing just outside the door when some guy went in. While the door was open, I looked in. Pretty much the same layout as the blueprints that Joe got, but I saw the loading dock door that was slid open. They were bringing in a dolly loaded with sound equipment. They propped the door of the elevator room open so they could wheel cases out, and I saw a guy slide the loading dock door shut and then lock it. It's only locked by a deadbolt. I got a good look at the elevator, too. Well, that may come in useful if this smokeout doesn't work. Let's get another beer and watch. We still got a while before Joe cuts the power." David leans back and says, "Well, guys, we want their cell phones. Any ideas, besides having Lance go put the moves on Mark again?" "I'm okay with that," says Lance. "Down, boy. We just want their phones. We don't want to injure them." "Damn," says Lance. "Why do you want their cell phones?" asks Mike. "So Todd can dump their phone books and plant his viruses without them knowing," answers Lance. "I only need one of them," interjects Todd. "Once I have it, I'll dump its memory and upload the new operating system with my virus scripts. They'll spread when they use the phone. Then I can do the same to the other infected phones remotely. I won't need physical access." "So exactly how do you intend to get their phones?" says Mike. "From what I can see on the security cameras, they've got them in their shirt pockets. The pickpocket job won't do. They'll notice them gone right away." "Mary, you listening?" "Yep, I'm listening, Davy. Think you and your accomplices can get one of their phones?" "Yeah, I'll see what I can do. Give me a few minutes to get ready." A few minutes later, Mary, Lois, and Jane, bedecked in jewelry and tight-fitting blouses and jeans, stagger up to the bar, laughing and giggling like schoolgirls. They cluster next to Mark and Sid. Lois calls to a bartender and orders a round of drinks, then turns and begins flirting with Sid. Mary takes her drink and turns to Mark and says, "Hey, dude, what's up? You new here?" Mark displays interest and says, "Yeah, my name's Mark. This is Sid. This is our first time in Omaha. So, what are you guys in Omaha for?" "Oh, we're here to make some deliveries," says Mark. "What line of work are you in?" "Pharmaceuticals, mainly." "Sounds interesting," says Lois. "Oh, no, not really. We just deliver packages and pick things up," says Sid. Jane is fooling with her cell phone, then says to Mark, "Say, honey, could you let me use your phone? My battery gave out, and I need to be sure my sister will pick me up later." "Yeah, sure," he replies, as he pulls out his phone and hands it to her. She begins to pretend to make a phone call, turning and covering one ear as she presses the phone to the other. Todd, by prearrangement, starts a popular dance tune on the sound system. As many couples get up to dance, Mary says, "Hey, I like that song. You want to dance?" "Okay, sure, I guess so," says Mark. Lois says to Sid, "How about you, Sid?" Sid nods. They put their drinks on the bar car, and Jane looks up and says, "Don't worry, I'll watch him for you."